Gaila, I think this was a very interesting, inspiring presentation, and we are coming now closer and closer to forests, actually. I have a spontaneous question. What in one of your presentations you were explaining about these different indicators on green economy, and then you said beside that there are also indicators on environment, on forest. What is the reason to split them? If you are talking about green economy, my first impression would be they should go together. So what is the explanation? Thank you.
Thank you for your question. I agree it's a bit confusing. So back in 1995, there was a lot of effort that was undertaken at the OECD to develop forest indicators, but within the environmental corset. So that was way before the green growth narrative came along. And they want, so that includes information on policies, state, and pressure on the environment, including on forest. And the reason why not all of them were included in the set of green growth indicator is that they don't all represent this link with economy. So, for instance, protected area was not chosen to be as a headline indicator for green growth indicator, because we don't. It's not. You don't. I mean, it's not obvious to understand the economic narrative behind having protected areas. So that's why, for instance, it's still in the core set of environment, but it's not included in this green growth approach.
Okay, thank you for this explanation. And I will give you now the floor to address questions of both the presentations of UNEP and also of OECD. And the floor is yours. Now, please, you have the floor.
Again, for Stewardship Council. First, a question to you, Mr. Chairman. Will we get also the PowerPoint presentations of today, like we had from the previous days? And then I have questions to both speakers as well.
Okay, the answer is clear. Of course, all the presentations will be online. The question is when? Alicia?
I think already at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, they will be online available. And there will be also a report of the workshop. It will take probably a bit more time, but which is summarizing then also the discussions, the recommendations at the end. Thank you. Now, your question.
Mr. Sheng, you presented a set of 13 indicators. In the background paper, we have a set developed by UNEP, which presents 11 indicators. It's also on page 11. So does it mean that the information in the background paper is outdated? Is this what you've been presenting? Is it a renewal? And to Ms. Rambali, I've not been following OECD work, unfortunately, as much in the last few years, but in my previous job, I was very much involved in the debate about the green economy, the green growth. I was head of the European Environmental Bureau. And what I found always extremely useful in the OECD work was your constant push for environmental fiscal reforms, meaning environmental tax reforms, subsidy reforms. Of course, a more recent development is also emission trading and so on. And I don't find that in your setup. Maybe it's hidden under prices and transfers, but I think it's such an important tool as policy response to drive the economy in the green direction, that I think it should really be highlighted. And you said you don't have a key indicator for policy responses yet. I would advise you to take exactly that one, environmental fiscal reform. So is there a political reason why it has been given less profile than in the past?
Question goes to Mr. Sheng and then to
Yes, the work on the selection of indicators has evolved since last year, because we have been doing consultations with various partners and so on. So it has evolved, and in particular, we have placed a greater emphasis on the issue of gender inequality, for example, and so on. So I think perhaps the background after this event, maybe Derek could take another look and then maybe give the more up-to-date information in the gray, in the background. No? Thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Sheng, for this clarification. And about the other question, you have the floor, Michaela.
Thank you very much for your comments. I totally agree. It's a very important indicator, and it is indeed hidden behind price and transfer. For the moment, we don't have information for all OECD countries, and it is indeed a very political question. The OECD, there are several aspects that are hidden under this. We have a lot of work that is being done on the energy side, on fossil fuel support, and this is included in the set of indicators. I can send you, I'm happy to send you the links to this work, and we have, it includes so tax credits and also direct measures of support for the use of fossil fuel. And it is important to flag that it accounts for like $200 billion per year. So it is a very important measure to add. Then we have agricultural subsidies, environmentally harmful agricultural subsidies that are being covered. They are not yet included in green growth indicators, but I have a report that I can give you where they look at agricultural subsidies. And finally, that's another topic that could be looked into, is the forest subsidies, and for the moment we don't have anything on this. And on the question on why it's not included in the headline is that because this group of indicator covers so price and transfer, but also R&D and other international financial flow. So it was difficult to find a consensus. So for now, there's no consensus that has been agreed on to have only one headline indicator. So what the OECD advised for the moment is for having each country use the one that's most appropriate to its national circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you for this explanation. So it is obviously similar like in our sector, where we always find possibilities to improve our indicators. If you remember last year, there was the ministerial conference where we also realized that even having indicators since 20 years, but still they are on move and they can be improved and so on. So it seems that also other organizations have the same movements. There was one question from Silvan, and there is the second one, and there is the third one. And then I hope we can move, or there is Kit Prince you want to add. Silvan, please.
Yes, my question is for Mr. Sheng, but just before, I would like to support my friend from FSC here. If you remember, in Rio, the first request was to stop the subsidy to oil and gas, $650 billion per year, the most by far subsidized industry, and it's still there. So green economy will not exist as long as we subsidize fossil fuels. That's our first comment. So it should be included in the criteria indicators as probably the top one indicator. My question for Mr. Sain is the famous map you show about the progress on country. I love that kind of stuff. What is the reference base like in IFCC protocol? We have 1990 base. If I understand correctly, the bad boys will show progress easily. So if I do an example for good food, if I eat 25 McDonald's per day, I will improve if I eat only 24. So is that you show the people improvement without basic numbers of results? Or what is the concept of the reference base? Thank you.
Okay. First of all, in terms of the duration of the performance, the result is based on the change between 2000, the year 2000 and 2010. Right, that's one. Secondly, the measurement is like the following. You have a situation like where you are or where you were in 2000, in a particular area, let's say energy use or pollution, right? So you were at a particular point in 2010. Now we look at the other end. What's the goal you wanted to achieve by 2010? So we take nationally determined goal and target in order to measure your own performance, okay? To say, this is where you are today, this is where you want to be, and how you are doing on a year-by-year basis, right? That's, if a country does not have a nationally determined target, then we will use the comparable target for a similar group of countries. For example, by HDR, Human Development Index grouping, right? And say, for that group, what is the average goal? Let's say, what is the goal for that group? And then we measure the performance accordingly, right? And then there will be some adjustments to be done through the weighting in order to take into account the situation you describe. You know, the bad guys, you know, maybe setting very low targets and then achieving it very easily and so on. And the good guys being already very close to the target and they are penalized. So there will be some statistical adjustment to equalize, to sort of take out these kind of anomalies in order to make the results equitable. Okay, thanks.
Thank you for this explanation. There was the question here, please.
Thank you, and I thank Mr. Sheng for the explanation, because I also had the same doubts, and it's still poses another doubts about this process, but it's okay. But my question was also to Mr. Cheng on this trade on environmental goods, and I think you also mentioned services. And on the background paper, we see that there is a good coverage from countries. What kind of environmental goods are you considering as a trader? I mean, what is an environmental good for you? Thank you.
Well, I think we use, maybe our colleague from OECD can help as well. We use the OECD database on environmental trade or trading environmental goods, as well as the database from APEC, the Asia Pacific Economic Cooperation. So we use some existing data, and my understanding is a lot of the goods that are traded in this category tend to be renewable energy related, okay? But I think maybe colleague from OECD can help explain the database in OECD in this particular area.
Environmental goods and services, we also have in our set of indicators. We use those that are strictly environmental related, like waste, water, sanitation, sewage treatment, which are directly connected to environmental services.
Excuse me, if I may add something else.
Yeah. Okay.
On this question.
Okay, please.
Sorry. Thanks for the explanation. But broadly speaking, there is also an internationally adopted set of guidelines on the measurement of the so-called EGSS, environmental goods and services sector. And that framework was championed by OECD maybe almost 30 years ago. And then it was taken over by Eurostat. And then the latest was that framework was made into the SEEA, the one that we heard earlier. There was a dedicated chapter on how do we measure environmental goods and service sector. And I understand that in Europe, in the EU member states, all member states are required to provide accounts on EGSS as of next year, 2017. That probably would be a very important framework in the future for measuring the trade components of the EGSS moving forward. Thanks.
Thank you for this clarification. I have to apologize. We have to move a little bit with the program. We are a bit late. You will have still some time, but we have three more presentations before lunch.